Welcome to Family Talk.
What does marriage look like viewed through the lens of eternity? On today's edition of Family Talk, we'll find out. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and I am joined today by a very well-known couple, Francis and Lisa Chan. Most know Francis because of his New York Times best-selling book, Crazy Love. He's also a well-known speaker and pastor. Lisa Chan, the wife of Francis, is also a well-known communicator through her excellent video series for women titled True Beauty. The topic of today's program is Francis and Lisa's latest book on marriage titled You and Me Forever. Now, Francis and Lisa, let's jump back into discussing your book. You celebrated 20 years of marriage 1 year ago. I get to celebrate 10 this year. I can't believe it. It's like 10 years. Can't believe it. 20 years, and you decided you didn't go to Tahiti, didn't go to Hawaii. What did you do to celebrate 20 years of marriage together? Who decided, let's not celebrate traditionally, let's celebrate in a different way?
Honestly, I don't remember which one of us was the first to say it.
Yeah, I think we both had, I don't remember. It might have been your idea.
You know, I would say, Lisa, you were probably expecting some grand anniversary celebration, but it seems like with your family and your perspective on life, maybe that wasn't thing you had dreamed about. It wasn't some fancy, you know, anniversary party. So yeah. The two of you are thinking, no, let's shake it up a little bit.
I think obviously we celebrate our marriage, but we're very low key. It's like for our anniversaries, it's in January, so we would get a gift certificate to a restaurant from someone at Christmas, and we would use it on our anniversaries and go to that restaurant because it's like, oh yeah, guilt-free, you know, eating out. So, but you know, definitely when it came to our 20th, we were thinking, let's do something special. This is unique. We are grateful for God bringing us to this point, 20 years, but we both just had a desire, like, let's not go somewhere.
Well, I think what it is when you look back at life, we've had some great vacations, mm-hmm. But it's almost like you do it and then it's done. And then there's other times when you actually went and, man, we helped build a hospital. We built a school. We did this. And it lives on. And there's no regret. It's like an ongoing, like we're constantly excited about it, even to this day, things that we did 10, 15 years ago, where you never think that way with a vacation. So we're like, well, let's just go. Let's go serve somewhere.
Right. The spiritual
those are things
high
that, last.
That
yeah.
you get when you are outside of yourself. And then, and like he said, we would come back from these trips overseas and, you know, you can ride it out for a little while, like what God teaches you and shows you and what you see and that feeling that this life that we're living is not really that great compared to how I felt when I was over there, loving people, serving people, yeah. not caring what I look like, not caring about my home. That brings you so much joy and so much life that it made sense. Like, yeah, let's do something like that for our 20th.
Yeah, and it's not like we were going, oh, let's, you know, look at us. We're really sacrificing. We're going, no, this is where life is. These were our greatest times in life. So let's just trust that we're going to be so grateful when we get home. Like, that was way better than anything else we could have done. Mm-hmm.
And so what'd you do?
We went to Africa, and we saw the worst poverty I think we've seen in our lives. I mean, kids that are literally going to die in days just because they didn't have enough food or water. And then we went to the red light district and just invited all of these women, these, you know, sex slaves, basically, just out for a night. And hundreds of them showed up.
Really?
And just
how did you do that?
Them.
How did you spread the word that you were going to do something? And then what did you do? I mean, for sex yeah. traffickers, for people that are essentially
yeah.
slaves.
Yeah.
And there's really no escape. Where are you going to go? You're mm-hmm. in Africa.
Totally.
What are you going to do? Start over? I don't think people understand what it's like to be in slavery and bondage mm-hmm. like that, to where there is no hope of escape. Yeah. You could run away and you're going to get caught again. It's just, that's it.
Yeah. Right. We joined with a friend of ours
yeah.
who he had gone down there, just a businessman, just gone on his own and just started talking to some of these ladies. And then he educated, you know, got them educations and just beautiful, beautiful story. But now he started a ministry out there where these women who came out of that world are going back to their friends and helping to pull them out. And so at the dinner, they're sharing their testimony of, I was right there with you. I remember every day at 6 o'clock, that sick feeling of how many guys are going to enter into my room goodness. And just that horror of every day. And they're just saying, there's another way. Jesus can save you. And then to worship with these women who were the worship leaders at the church Sunday, you're just going, this is the most beautiful thing, you know, to see them up there worshiping God. Many of them married now and having families. And it just as we expected, it was the greatest decision to go serve, because you just get so blessed and it lasts. And so that's when we decide, okay, let's finish this book we were writing. Let's nail it, make it the greatest. And then all the proceeds, it's going to go to people like this. Let's get them out. Let's educate all of them. Let's start an army, you know, where, because that's what I saw there.
Yeah.
These people are an army. The look in their eyes, the joy, and the fact that we're going to go back and get everyone with us. You know, I go, let's just train up leaders like this that will go back to their people. And people go, well, you don't know the whole end solution. I go, I don't have to. They'll figure it out. They're more hungry for this than I am. So I just need to give them a chance. Mm. And so it was a joy to come home and finish the book.
Yeah.
And now to say, okay, let's send all the proceeds over there.
Well, let's get to the book. Why write this? And I have to be honest, why write it now? Doing a book on marriage, living in San Francisco, I mean, at a time where what marriage is today won't be what marriage is when my son is 25 or 45 or my daughter, when she grows up, the definition of marriage will probably have changed drastically.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, it's interesting because I've thought about writing this book for a while, and it was not meant to be an attack on where the world has taken marriage. It was really more, if anything, an attack on the church and where the church has taken marriage, where we can almost idolize that and think that the goal of Christianity is to have a nice family. And I have a family, my kids don't swear, we did it. Yep. You know, it's like, man, no, read the Bible. Where did you get that? You know, this, what the Bible emphasizes is about how our time on earth is short and to make the most of it. And we got to get the gospel to the ends of the earth and to start looking at our marriages in light of eternity. And it's really when you start living for the kingdom and seeking the kingdom first that your marriage can become beautiful. Because I look at these 21 years with Lisa now and go, it really wasn't that hard, you know, but a lot of it was because of our focus. We didn't focus on each other. We focused on this mission together.
You know, Francis and I, we can celebrate along the way. Oh, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Okay. But there's more of this race to be run. There's more tasks to accomplish. There's good works that God put us here to do, that he prepared in advance that we would walk in them. Mm. And it's not until the end when he just says, well done, good and faithful servants. Now come in and relax and rest and inherit everything that I have for you. And so we need to live our lives in that way.
Yeah.
And we just feel like there's a lot of marriages where they're happy, they're enjoying each other, but they're also not doing anything. They're not seeking the kingdom first. And you look at, you know, while Paul did say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, he also in 1 Corinthians 7 says, those who are married should live as though they're not. You know, like there's something bigger going on too. And even that Ephesians 5 passage, he's explaining, I'm not talking about earthly marriage here. I'm talking about Christ and the church.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a marriage that is way bigger than my marriage to Lisa. It's this marriage supper of the Lamb. Like, I'm his bride. This is what this book is about. This is what the Bible is about. And so we strive and we just look forward to that day when we actually see him. But for now, there's work to do.
Yeah.
And that 1 Corinthians 7 passage is all about, look, he wants to secure undivided devotion to the Lord. And so marriage, I believe, is something that should help us in that journey and can, you know, cause you to accomplish so much more together for his kingdom than you would apart. And so as we looked at that, we just felt very sad for people who had marriages that didn't have a mission. There was no point to it other than we're married so that we can make each other happy.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're married so that you can paint a picture of Christ in the church to the world. You're married so that you can make more disciples and you can raise these children to be warriors and disciple makers, even in their own schools.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, I think there may be some wives listening right now that hear Francis say, you know, we're not focusing on each other, we're focusing on a mission. And they're saying, you know, that sounds good. But how does that work in day-to-day life? I mean, I have needs that I need to get met, and I want to feel special, and I want to feel loved, and maybe I don't want to go to Africa for my anniversary. Maybe after 20 years of putting up with my guy, I want him to throw a big party in my honor. You know, how day-to-day does that work? How do you continually focus on that mission and yet have your needs met? How do you feel loved and cherished? How do you feel special in those times that you need?
You know, I mean, I'm definitely like every woman and want to be loved and nurtured in a way by my husband. But the first thing I have to say for myself and for every other woman is that we cannot go to our husbands first. We have to go to the Lord first. Mm. And there is a huge need for us to strengthen ourselves in our walk with God and in our love for the Word. And then we can enter into our marriages and our needs are a little more realistic because we understand our identity in Christ. We're loved by God. We get a lot of those needs met by Him.
I like that phrase, though, more realistic needs.
Yes.
Do you think there's a bit of maybe unreality that's being placed on marriages today?
Yeah.
That what we think are our needs have been blown out of proportion? Are they unrealistic? Are husbands putting too much pressure on wives for their needs? Are those needs unrealistic? Are wives putting too much pressure on husbands?
Well, I know that anytime, you know, if there's a day where my biggest thought is what Francis is not doing to meet my needs, is usually when I'm kind of spiritually dry or not in the right place spiritually, if that makes sense. Like, obviously, we're relational, we're emotional, and it's okay to be honest. And sometimes I tell Francis, I'm just feeling off today. I need encouragement, or I'm feeling afraid or fearful of some of the things that, you know, we're going through, or I'm looking at one of our daughters and where they're at, and I'm worried about them. Like, I can come to him and be honest with that, but it's a lot different when I've met with the Lord first, and I come from a place of strength in the Lord. Mm. And then when I come in my weakness to my husband, he can meet that need in a realistic way because I've already brought it to the Lord.
Mm. So are you guys saying that it's wrong to pursue pleasure or happiness in marriage? Should all of marriage be about a mission and not really about, you know, the relationship necessarily or feeling the feelings of marriage?
Well, I mean, the Bible talks about how He created these things for us to enjoy.
Yeah.
It is for our good. I'm just saying that.
I was hoping you'd answer it that way. Because what you're not saying is that marriage, you know, ought to essentially be a partnership in business and the business is missions and ministry.
Right. And we've noticed sometimes when I speak about marriage, I focus on this part that I go, gosh, people are missing because this is what brings us so much joy. It's kind of like being on a baseball team. It's like you pursue this championship, but as you're winning, you're just laughing, you're enjoying each other, but there's a purpose. You're not just hitting the ball around. You're trying to win something.
Yeah.
And it's when you have that victory that you're hugging each other. There's a bonding, I'm saying, that happens while you're on the mission. Just like most people that are listening, you've been on a mission trip before.
Yeah.
You know, but you're on a mission. Did you have a great time? Yes, you did. Did you just bond with everyone else? You didn't even try to.
Yeah.
But you come home going, man, we had such an amazing time. And I'm just saying that's what the mission does.
Yeah. Yeah. So what does it look like to have a gospel-centered marriage that gets that? I mean, people want what you have. After 21 years, you can see it when you talk about each other. No one else can because you're listening to radio. But your eyes light up and you're happy and you obviously love each other. That's what people want. And what you're saying in You and Me Forever is that everyone can have that. Takes a lot of work, but we've got to refocus. We've got to redefine Well, I'm going to say we have to redefine marriage. That's going to get me in so much trouble with the Christians. But in a way, we do, because I think people look at marriage today and they see Real Housewives of wherever, and these people scream at each other all the time, but it's passion. That's what we say. It's passion.
Again, you have to go back to what the scripture says, right?
Yeah.
It says a woman with a gentle and quiet spirit is precious in the sight of God. And it also says, you know, be kind and tenderhearted and forgive one another. And it says to clothe yourself in humility. And it says to consider others more important than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So when you, again, when you get out yourself out of the world and out of the culture and out of your own mind and say, what does the word of God say to me? If I want an amazing marriage or I want my husband to love me and feel tender towards me, then what are you doing to be a blessing to your husband? He's not going to rise up and call you blessed, like it says in Proverbs 31, unless you are a blessing to him. So fight for your marriage in a different way. We always sit back and want the other person to do what we think they're supposed to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what if you are the one that decides to say, you know what, Lord, help me love my husband who doesn't, I feel like he doesn't even deserve it right now, or he's not meeting my needs, but I'm going to love him. I'm going to be the wife that you want me to be.
Lisa, is that the first step? Because I think there are people married right now that maybe they're in a rut. Maybe it's not exciting, for lack of a better word. Is that the first step? Is the first step saying, Lord, show me what I need to do to be the best spouse for my husband or my wife?
Because we
can
never...
Not about what you want to change in the other person.
Right. I can't change Francis. I can't make him do something. I can't... You know, you feel that as a parent. I can't make my child love God. I can't make my husband into someone. I can only say before the Lord, have I pleased you, Lord? If I ask God, and I ask this to my children sometimes, like, is that something that's pleasing to the Lord? Would he say, you're doing the right thing right now? And we have to turn that on ourselves. Am I doing what's right? Is my heart right before God? Am I showing humility? Am I being forgiving? Rather than, he's not being this, he's not being that, but what about me? And if we take that to the Lord and confess our own sins, then the Lord pours out his grace on the humble, right? But he opposes the proud. And listen, we are all prideful. I have had many prideful moments. And I don't want to feel God's opposition. I want to feel God's grace. And God will pour out his grace on you. We can have confidence in that. But it starts with humility. Mm-hmm. It starts with you as an individual person saying, I will choose to honor God today, regardless of what the other person is doing.
Yeah. Francis, talk to those who are married and who are unmarried about reprioritizing what's important in their marriage from God's perspective.
Yeah.
If you could say, in your marriage... Let's talk about, it doesn't have to be the top three. It's hard to do that because then, you know, 2 hours from now, you're going to go, oh no, I forgot this one. But what are three things that ought to be way up there in the priority list in a marriage that will create a successful marriage?
Yeah, I don't know if it's just me, but, you know, when I look in scripture, I see this eternal perspective that we're supposed to have. I mean, that was the point of the book, You and Me Forever. It's
right.
About eternity. Like if there's no heaven and hell, then yeah, I would live my life very differently. If there's no resurrection from the dead, I would make way different choices. It would be all about us. It would be about, man, how do we have a good time? But I'm thinking, okay, Lisa's going to stand before God one day. Okay, I mean, we're having a great time. Marriage has been great. But bottom line, to be blunt, we're going to die any second. I could die before this broadcast is over.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stand before a holy God. And so what am I going to care about at that moment? So if you don't have that eternal perspective, you're going to make decisions for the here and now. And that's not the way the Bible tells us to live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way an unbeliever lives. That's the way, you know, someone in the world would live, is just let me have all of it right now. I want my best life right now. But no, because there is a resurrection from the dead, then I understand that, gosh, my life's going to look crazy to other people. So I would say, I personally believe that number one thing in that marriage is that you both have to have that eternal perspective. And I would also, and it's hard to number them, like you
sure,
said.
Sure.
But the other thing is you have to decide who's the authority here? Mm. Is it about what I want, or is it about what you want, or is it about literally what the scriptures say? Because that really ends all arguments. You go, okay, if Jesus were here, what would he want us to do in this situation? I mean, this is stuff we agreed on while we were dating. I wasn't going to marry someone that didn't hold the Bible as the source of our decision-making. Let's just do what's most biblical.
Yeah.
Because you're going to feel something, I'm going to feel something, but let's go to the Word. And so if that's not there, I don't know how you can move forward in that. But I think, thirdly, it would be this love for people. You know, it's this... It's a love for God and love for people that really go together. You really can't separate the two. But you have to, together as a couple, decide we're going to love those who are less fortunate. We're going to love those people who are headed for an eternity apart from God. We want to. God's given us that desire, and so we're pursuing that. And so I would say, as we've had this eternal perspective and as we've loved other people and really just sought to care for their needs. And I would say that as we've had this eternal perspective and made our decisions based on what's most biblical and made decisions based on what's most loving to other people, gosh, that's what's drawn us together. It's because you're trying to get rid of this selfishness.
Yep.
I mean, I'm like everyone else. I wake up and I think, what do I want? What do I want? What do I feel? What can you do for me? Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's what Jesus saves you from, is that self-centeredness. And it's this eternal focus on him. It's his word, his desire. It's these people that he wants us to love. And as we both start looking outward and upward, it's crazy how together we feel in our marriage.
Well, and it's like marriage is something given to us by God to display who he is to people.
Mm.
So why have we as believers and Christians lost sight of that? Like, marriage is not for us. Marriage is something given to us by God to display to the world, again, his gospel, his love. So we have to take that seriously.
Yeah.
Like, let's not forget what's at stake, and let's not forget that our marriages belong to him so that we can be a reflection to the world.
Yeah.
So I feel like we just need to get our minds back in that place.
It sounds like it. Yeah. What about the pastor or the ministry worker who probably unknowingly is neglecting his family? What's that line between the gospel is the center of your life and still being there for your family? I mean, how many ministry workers do we know that are overworked and stressed out and the family does get neglected?
Yeah, you know, I hear that a lot, and I agree that there are some. But if I'm to be perfectly honest, I think we've swung the pendulum the other direction.
You think it's the fraction?
I see that people in ministry have more family time than anyone I know.
That's awesome.
You know, which is a good thing in some ways, but sometimes I'm like, man, where's the sacrifice? You know, so it's kind of gone the other direction. But I will say, you know, sometimes we separate our ministry from our family time. And what we've done is really made our family time ministry. Like, our family's with us when we go and minister, and when we take people into the home, they understand this is a mission we're on. Even when we're out knocking on doors, caring for people, our kids are with us. And so it's just like Lisa and I don't have just, it's not so much about, okay, we got to protect our time, but our time ministering has been awesome. It's just been laughter. It's been joy. And in the same way, now our kids are seeing that, and we serve together, and it brings the family together.
That's awesome. Again, thank you for the book, for your ministry, for following God, and for coming all this way to talk to us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
For those of you who weren't with us at the top of today's program, we've been enjoying the conclusion of my interview with Francis and Lisa Chan here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and as I mentioned at the top of the program, Francis and Lisa have created an amazing series of free resources connected to their new book on marriage titled You and Me Forever. A link to those videos and a link to the digital version of this book, which is also free, can be found at drjamesdobson.org. Also, as I said at the beginning of the program, we have a matching grant this month only that will double every donation we receive up to $200,000. It is such a blessing to have friends that do these matching grants for us. And that means your impact can be doubled today. So click the donate tab at drjamesdobson.org or call us at 877-732-6825. And as a thank you for your gift, we'll send you my dad's newest book, Your Legacy, and the DVD that corresponds with it from our new film series, Building a Family Legacy. Once again, drjamesdobson.org or 877-732-6825. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.